Okay, welcome to next installment of Haggadah Highlights. And of course, as usual, we're learning in memory of those for whom we would be saying Kaddish: Tzvi Yitzchak ben Yosef Yoel, Chanayita bas Avram HaLevi, Aaron Yaakov ben Chaim Nachman, Chayesar bas Yecheskel Shraga, and the Kraut families are sponsoring the Ilui Nishmas, their mother, Elka Gitel bas Yisrael Mordechai. So we're in the middle of the Arba Abanim, the four children. And yesterday we discussed the Chacham and we discussed the Rasha, and today we're going to discuss the Tam and the She'eino Yodea Lishol. So the Tam, the translation generally of the Tam in the Haggadah is the simple son, the simple son. And the Haggadah says Tama Mahu Omer. What is the Tam? What does the simple son say? Mazos. A very simple question. What is this? Right? Not even the complexity of the Chacham, that's the Chacham's question. He understands the different categories and he wants to understand more about them. And you teach him the halachos, even the Rasha, even the Rasha focuses on the avoda. And the Tam, mazos, very simple question, mazos. And what's our response to the Tam? That Hashem took us out with a strong arm. Now the Tam goes almost unnoticed, and everybody focuses on the Chacham. Everybody focuses on the Rasha, and even the She'eino Yodea Lishol. There are Divrei Torah, and there's focus on him. What's the Tam? The Tam seemingly goes unnoticed. So Rabbi Bender makes a couple of beautiful points, both in the Tam and the She'eino Yodea Lishol, that I want to share with you. And essentially, he says that the Tam represents the child that, at face value, when you look at them, the student, the child, the grandchild, whatever the case might be, when you look at them at face value, they seem to have very limited potential. They seem to perhaps even lack potential. What's going to become of them? What are they really going to amount to? And the message of the Baal Haggadah, by including the Tam, the question of the Tam, and our response to the Tam, is that there's no such thing as a child without potential. Even a simple child, even a child that seems to be very simple, mazos, just kind of wondering what's going on, a little bit deer in the headlights kind of kid, we always include him. We always include her. We always respond to their questions. Why? Because there's always unlimited potential. I would add one thing that Rabbi Bender doesn't say this. We'll get back to what Rabbi Bender says in a minute. But I would just add one thing, that if you look at the response to the question of the Tam asks mazos, a very open-ended question. Basically, what's going on, right? What's going on here? That's essentially the Tam's question. And what's our response? Hashem took us out with great might, with a strong arm, with great power. When I read this, you know, as I was preparing this, I thought to myself, you know, when you're driving on the highway or you're walking on the road, and I'm walking with my kids or I'm driving with my kids, and a police car goes whizzing by with its lights and sirens, or the ambulance, or the Hatzalah truck, as my kids call it, the ambulance, you know, goes whizzing by, or fire trucks, you know, you see fire trucks on the side of the road, or fire trucks go by. So often my focus, and I think many adults, the focus is, you know, I hope everything's okay. I hope, you know, the person that was hurt is not hurt badly. I hope that, you know, they'll make it, they'll survive, everything will be okay. Kids just focus on the lights and the sirens. That's all they're focused on. They're focused on the fire truck. They don't really care what's going on behind the scenes. Not that they don't care, but they, you know, they're young. You know, they're not focused on that. They're not focused on the accident that may have happened, or the person that may have gotten hurt, or the crime that's in progress. That's not what they're focused on. They're focused on the action, on the lights, on the sirens, on the police car, the fire truck, the ambulance. That's what they're focused on. So the Tam, we reply to him on his level. He's a simple kid. To him, getting into the Hilchos Pesach, getting into even the morals and the values and the ideas, Hashkafa ideas, philosophy ideas behind Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's going to be meaningless. It'll just bounce right off of him. He's not going to appreciate it. He's not going to understand it. So what do? B'chozek yado tziyanu Hashem Mitzrayim. We show him the lights and sirens. We show him the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power. We tell the story of the Makos. Why? Because that's what's Moshe him. That's what gets him in. That's what pulls him in. Once he's in, and he matures, then we can discuss, we can develop, we can analyze further, we can uncover the deeper meanings behind all of these things for him. But at first, let's just hook him in, because he's a kid with potential, even though he seems like he may not have too much potential. He's a kid with potential, and as he grows, and as he matures, and as he develops, you never know what a person can accomplish. You never know where a person can end up. The famous story with the Netziv, the great Netziv Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the Rosh Yeshiva, Mechaber Sfarim, he wrote many Sfarim, a monumental commentary on Chumash, and he wrote a commentary on the She'iltos. Amazing, amazing contributions to Torah scholarship. And the famous story with the Netziv is that when he was younger, he was a little bit of a lo yutzlach in school. He wasn't very successful. And his grades were slipping, perhaps, and maybe he wasn't well behaved in class. And the Rebbe, you know, called his parents and, you know, contacted his parents and said, listen, you know, little Naftali, he's not really doing much. Maybe find him an apprenticeship. You know, maybe find something else for him to do. You know, Naftali and Cheder, it's not a good shidduch. So his parents were talking one night after he had already gone into his room, and he overhears his parents talking about what the Rebbe said, and maybe we should really take him out of Cheder and put him in, you know, find him an apprenticeship, and, you know, in some sort of craft, you know, allow him to be productive. And then Netziv saw, he realized this, and he got scared. He said, I'm going to leave Cheder, I'm going to leave Yeshiva? I can't. And he applied himself. And when he applied himself, of course, it uncovered tremendous potential. At first, his parents, you know, he looked like a kid without too much potential. That's what the Rebbe thought. That's what his parents even thought. But then he showed everyone what he could accomplish when he put his mind to it, when he invested his efforts. There's unlimited potential to children. Rabbi Bender points out, I saw this vort in the Chafetz Chaim. He actually quotes the Chafetz Chaim, but he says that if you look at the Shvatim of Binyamin and Dan, very often in the Torah, they're listed next to each other. The Chelek and Eretz Yisrael, their portion in Eretz Yisrael is right next to each other. They camped next to each other. Binyamin and Dan are always right next to each other. He says, if you look in the Torah, when the Torah first describes the children of Binyamin and Dan as individuals, forget the Shvatim, when they were individuals, Binyamin and Dan, and they had children, Binyamin had 10 sons. Dan, one. Chushim ben Dan. Not only did he have one son, but his son was disabled. He couldn't hear. He was a disabled child. And therefore, you would think, you look at Binyamin, that's going to be a big shevet. 10 kids, each one is going to have children. They're going to build a big shevet. Dan, one kid. You know, the kid is not really fully developed. What's going to be of that shevet? Probably not much. But says the Chafetz Chaim, fast forward to Bamidbar. When we count up the Shvatim in Sefer Bamidbar, what do we have? We have Shevet Binyamin, 35,400. Shevet Dan, 62,700. Almost double of Shevet Binyamin. Dan, one individual who had one son, who by society standards was probably not the cream of the crop, so to speak. And yet he ended up with the second largest Shevet in Klal Yisrael. Because even when you look at something at the face value and it seems like it doesn't have potential, seems like a child doesn't have potential, seems like, you know, a situation doesn't have potential, we never know what a person can accomplish when they mature, when they develop, when they grow into themselves. We never, never know. Rabbi Bender also mentions the great Rosh Yeshiva of Nassim Tzvi Finkel Zatzal. Nassim Tzvi Finkel was the Rosh Yeshiva, famous individual, Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir for many, many years. He passed away, unfortunately, maybe 10 years ago at this point. I don't even remember. Maybe even less. And Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel was a very sick man but at the end of his life. A very sick man. He had Parkinson's, which had developed very rapidly. He got it when he was young. And at the end of his life, I was able to see, you know, I had this chus of seeing him in person a couple of times. And at the end of his, you know, he shook uncontrollably. And he always walked around with two big Yeshiva Bacharim next to him, who were holding him up, literally holding him up. And countless stories of Mesiras Nefesh and just amazing things that he accomplished. Nassim Tzvi Finkel, with his condition, was able to influence and inspire thousands of Talmidim, was able to raise millions and millions of dollars from one of the greatest yeshivos in the world. How did he do it? Not with physical prowess, not with an oratory ability, to inspire people and sway people. Rav Yitzchak Ezrachi, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, one of the Rebbeim in the Mir, once at a, I think it was at some sort of gathering or perhaps a Masiba or a Chagiga, he pointed to Rav Nosson Tzvi and he said, he quoted the Pasuk, Lo b'chayil v'lo b'choach ki im beruchi amar Hashem. Not with chayil, not with a great legion, not with koach, not with strength. Rav Nosson Tzvi didn't have those things. Ki im beruchi amar Hashem. But he had the Ruach Hashem. He had that spirit of Hashem. He had that just the inspiration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you looked at him and he shone, his countenance shone with inspiration, with closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam, with development of character. That's who he was, and that's how he was mashpi on people. That's how he inspired people. When you looked at him at face value, if someone had just seen him, they would have seen, oh, Nebuch. He's a person who's suffering with an illness physically. He's suffering tremendously. But you see what he accomplished? Not Nebuch at all. You see what he accomplished? You see what he was able to do with his life, with his kochos, to maximize them? Unbelievable. Yaakov Avinu, when he got to, well, what happened? Eliphaz caught up with him, Esav's son. Remember, Eliphaz took everything that Yaakov had. He came penniless. And what happened? He was able to build a beautiful family. He was able to amass wealth. David HaMelech was spurned, rejected by his family. And he became the Melech Yisrael. Right? Just because a person seems at face value not to have much potential, doesn't chas v'shalom mean that they won't develop. They can develop, they will develop, and they just have, sometimes you have to give them time. Rashi says, if you look at that pasuk, where the Tam asks his question in the Torah, so we quoted this yesterday, Rashi, the pasuk says the word machar, ki shalcha bincha machar, when your son asks you tomorrow. Says Rashi, sometimes machar can mean right now, you know, soon, and sometimes machar can mean la'achar zman, not literally tomorrow, in many, many years. Says Rabbi Bender, that's the idea of the Tam. The Tam right now, even tomorrow, doesn't look like much. Doesn't look like he's going to accomplish much. But la'achar zman, that machar, which sometimes means la'achar zman, in years, give this kid a few years. Give this kid a decade and see what he becomes, see what he can accomplish. Unbelievable. That's what the Tam, that's why we include the Tam in the Haggadah, and that's what the lesson of the Tam is. Now, if you look at the next son, the She'eno Yodea Lishol, so two beautiful ideas. One very famous idea, that She'eno Yodea Lishol, the son that doesn't know how to ask. So what's the Haggadah's response? At Petachlo. And famously, many Mefarshim pick up on this. At is in the language, is in Lashon Nekeva. It's in the feminine. Why is it in the feminine? Because so often, the ones that can really get to the kids, the ones that can really open up the kids and inspire their children are the mothers. At Petachlo. The mothers are able to do it. The mothers are able to accomplish. The mothers are able to really open up these children. Evander also mentions that sometimes you have a child that seems like there's nothing there. Ein yodea lishol. You know, he's quiet in class, shtim, doesn't say a word. Seems like maybe there's not much to him. But says Rabbi Bender, no kid is a zero. There's no kid that has nothing inside of him. Some kids are just locked up, and you got to unlock them. That's at petachla. That's the message of the Haggadah. Sometimes you got to open up this kid. Sometimes you just got to open him up. He tells a beautiful story with one of the Rabbeim in Darche, Rabbi Hauer, I think Rabbi Yitzchak Hauer. He's a Rebbe in Darche, so he said that, you know, he had a boy in the shir, was once very quiet, never said anything, didn't really contribute, you know, when called on, didn't really have much to say. And he said, okay, he's one of these, you know, quiet kids, maybe a little bit limited, perhaps a little bit slow. And then all of a sudden, you know, three quarters of the way into the year is after Purim, and the kid one day asks an amazing question. And the following day suggests a fantastic answer. And the next day, you know, is Machadesh something. And Rabbi Howard doesn't know what's happening. Well, this kid, you know, the whole year he's quiet, and all of a sudden he just blossomed. What happened? So he pulls the kid over after class, and he says, I see you're doing so beautifully the last couple of days. I'm just curious, you know, what changed? You were so quiet the first part of the year, and all of a sudden something changed. So the kid says to him, you know, Rebbe, you taught us the halacha that on Purim, kol haposhet yad nosnim lo, that anyone who asks for tzedakah, you have to give them. You don't ask questions. Someone asks you for tzedakah, you just give them tzedakah. You don't ask any questions. So I assumed that the same is true with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The same is true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol haposhet yad nosnim lo. So on Purim, I davened and I cried to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I had kavana when I said the bracha of Atachoni in the Adam Das and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the one who oversees all knowledge and grants knowledge to individuals and to human beings. I davened and beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give us knowledge, that he should give us understanding. And the next day, I came up with a great question. And the following day, I came up with a good answer. And the day after that, I came up with a chiddush. And all of a sudden, I'm a changed kid. And I realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me. Rabbi Howard said, and Rabbi Bender explains, you see, that this kid was just locked. It's not that he didn't have it inside of him. It's not that he didn't have the potential. He was there. The kid was there. He had everything inside of him. At petachlo. But sometimes you just have to open him up. Sometimes you just have to open up that kid, to crack him open, and bring that potential out. That's what's necessary. We'll close with one last beautiful thought. You know, again, the focus on the mother, at petachlo, the focus on the mothers, and of course the mothers, as we know, the women, we began with this earlier in the shiurim, you know, are the heroes of Pesach. Bizchus nashim tzidkaniyos, Chazal tell us, in the merit of the righteous Jewish women, we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. And we know time and time again, throughout the slavery, the women were the ones who, you know, who got their husbands going and got them to continue building Klal Yisrael and to not to, you know, have broken spirits. That was all the women. There were two women that occupied an incredible place in the story of Mitzrayim and Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that was Shifra and Puah. As we know from the story in the Torah, Shifra and Puah were the ones who saved the Jewish babies. They protected them from death, and we know that's really it was Yocheved and Miriam. Now Rashi explains why were they given the names Shifra and Puah. So Shifra Mishaperes, which means she used to clean up the body of the baby. She used to straighten out the limbs, make sure that everything was beautiful and the baby was all nice. And Puah, because she was Poesh, she would coo and soothe the child. And Rabbi Bender asks, you know, you imagine that Shifra and Puah had such a central role in the Yeshua of Yitzias Mitzrayim, in the salvation of Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Maybe we should give them names that indicated a little more chashivus. Give them a name that's associated with Geula, with redemption. You know, there's a new name. My niece is named Galia. Galia, like a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Goelas. I don't know. That's a nice name. Give it. Maybe Yocheved and Miriam should have gotten a name like that. Kadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out. They were so instrumental. Shifra and Puah. You know, it's like, okay, they did little things with the babies. They, you know, that they cleaned them up. They calmed them. That's the chashivus. So he answers with a beautiful mashal, and he says, you know, you imagine a young child that needs surgery, right? So my oldest son Yisrael Meir needed a minor. You know, he just needed a procedure. He had tubes put in his ears, and I still remember the process. We brought him into the OR. It was a minor surgery and a quick surgery, but you brought him into the OR. And all the doctors and the nurses are there, the anesthesiologist and the ENT and the nurses and everyone's there. And the father's there. I'm there. You know, my wife wanted me to go, and she's, you know, this wasn't for her. But, you know, I'm there holding the child. You know, you imagine like a mother there, you know, or a father with their child. Now, of all of those people in that room, who's most important? Who's most important for this procedure that's about to happen to the child? So the ENT is doing the surgery. He's very important. The anesthesiologist is, you know, helping the kid so that he doesn't feel the pain. That's incredibly important. The nurses are facilitating the entire surgery. They're incredibly important. But the mother or the father that's soothing that child. Sorry. Maybe I shouldn't have given the personal example. Excuse me. But the mother or the father that's soothing that child in the operating room is perhaps just as important, if not more important, to this child and to everything the child is experiencing than the doctors and the nurses, perhaps even combined. And says Rabbi Bender, that's Shifra and Puah. Shifra and Puah, of course, they were instrumental in the Yeshua, in the salvation, in getting Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. But Mishaperes HaSavlad, Poah, that you know, one of them just made the baby nice and clean. And one of them soothed the baby, that's what's important. Because that's incredibly important when it comes to raising children, not just the education, not just the technicalities, but sometimes just the emotional support, being there for them, like the Haggadah says, at petachlo. It doesn't give a methodology of how to do that. There's no course. Mothers, you know, and fathers, but mothers especially, don't take a course of how to be a mother. There's no certificate that you can take or a degree that you get how to be a mother. It's a natural instinct that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them, at petachla, to bring this child out, to allow the child to maximize his potential. And that's both the tam and the she'eno yodei lishol, this crucially important point of recognizing the potential that lies within children and helping those children maximize their potential. Okay, we'll stop here for today.